Game Time Decisions.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
I guess the new start time of the show is just
4:20. 4:20.
Yeah, 4:20.
It's appropriate.
Lot of rage. Red Heat and Rage Radio.
IT Rage.
Complete frustration.
Your moon landing talk, you really got me thinking now. I was kind of thinking, you know what? You might be right, Gabe. Now I'm all in on you. All in, 100%. There's no way.
I am like a static magnet. I'm like a static magnet for like computer chaos.
Yeah.
You came in.
We're working on it. We're nice and early, buddy. Nice and early.
You came in today. I wasn't in a bad mood.
No, you were actually, hey, Cam, how's it going? You know?
I got a million
Forgot
notes.
Some stuff here.
I got all these facts and trends. I was ready to go.
Ready to rock.
Even set stuff up, yet evidently there was a battle in cyberspace. Fortunately, George Caballo was able to...
George is tough.
Yeah, well, George is a smart guy, and he's able to... pretty much the best tech guy I've ever seen.
That's quickly. a great point. We've worked with a lot of tech guys before, but nobody solves things like George.
But George, very, very quick and over the phone trying to figure things out. But it's getting frustrated that on a daily basis there's just new things. And man, you breathe like Darth Vader in here.
Yeah.
You gotta move. Can you move the mic like a little way from your mouth there, Cam? Like the breathing's too much, bro.
Okay, I'll try not to breathe so hard.
All right, so he's Cam Stewart. He's Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
And I'm not his son, and I'm not Mark Hamill, though I am frustrated. Yeah, so, yeah, we apologize. We apologize for the delay to the start of the program. It's just sort of one technical difficulty after another. It's getting extremely frustrating. I think basically it's come to the point where either I smash the computer.
Yeah,
smash my skull.
No.
Or get a desktop computer.
Hey, desktop computer. Option three.
That never gets touched. It just sits in the corner.
Exactly. Nice and smooth.
It's only used. No, basically it's like Russian freaking roulette, man.
It's tough.
Like I turn on a computer and it's like, I don't know, like this, oh no, you gotta redo this and reboot that and the Johnson rod. Oh yeah, you didn't spin it 18 times first. It's just, the level of frustration and, I don't consider, I'm not like a tech idiot.
These things on a nightly basis.
I do a lot of things on a daily basis, yet for some reason, this program hates me. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence right now. Maybe Mark, Mark's going to give us some winners. Everything's going to be better in a couple of minutes with Mark Lawrence. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys, if I didn't know better, I was just listening in, I would swear I'm listening to, like, preparation for labor and childbirth. What's going on there? I don't understand. Cam's breathing heavily. You're shouting out instructions.
Well, Mark, let me ask you. You know, you're a guy, and Dave Malinsky took a pot shot at you yesterday about you and him are the only guests we have that used to use rotary phones. So you're
what do you mean used to? What do you mean used to?
Yeah, used to. Yeah, but you're like real old school. Yet you've got the playbook. You've got mobile devices. You also have a team. But do you get frustrated by like technology and these computers and upload this? Because you got to do a lot of pretty slick stuff online, Mark, with your playbook.
Yeah, well, I'm not the technology guy. I mean, I play with the end result of it. But when it comes to downloading things and uploading things, I just throw up my hands. I just turn to my kid and say, hey, help me out here. Or I can turn to my granddaughter and she can do it in a heartbeat. So, go figure that.
Yeah, these kids are pretty sharp these days.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Mark, it seems like, and you're a big fan of the Dogs. The Dogs have been barking a lot over the last couple of weeks in college basketball, haven't they? It's that time of the year right now. You have a lot of desperate teams. Maybe some teams are just a little bit overly favored and heavily priced. Last night, good example, Mississippi State. Mississippi State goes in there in the Texas A&M, wins the game outright as 7-point underdogs.
Yeah, it's a combination of that, Gabe, and also of the teams feeling the pressure. The guys up on top leading the pack and all of a sudden, you know, having to go out and perform, win basketball games. I think they tighten up a little bit. You got the guys that are chasing them that know they need wins. They can just let it fly. So it's a good time for betting underdogs this time of the season, college basketball conference, just before we get into the tournaments.
We've got a live home dog tonight. A team that's been real hot as of late. The Georgetown Hoyas.
Very hot.
Covered five straight basketball games. Now, I know they don't fall into a good trend as far as your database is concerned this evening, but Georgetown Hoyas is very hot. And something I've been talking about on a daily basis, Mark, the Big East, man, it's like watching Loyola Marymount play in the old days. Like, basically, like every freaking game in the Big East goes over. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, lack of defense in the Big East for whatever reason. You know, Lou Carnesecca would be turning in sweaters right now wondering what happened to defense in that conference. But it's the way it is right now. And you talked about Georgetown. They're in dire straits themselves. They're sitting here with 15 wins in the season. They need a game here tonight like blood. But you got Xavier trying to protect that half-game lead against Villanova. That trend is not good in Georgetown's favor here, but the game sets up pretty well if you take a look at the way they come in. Xavier off the loss, Georgetown off the win. I'm going to stay out of the basketball game because of that. I don't like the way the game sets. It's Georgetown revenge. They need the win, but I don't like the way the game sets with Xavier coming off that 16-point loss.
Hey, Mark, going to the ACC, take a look. I love the coffee club in this one. Virginia, 7-14 ATS as a host versus the Rambling Wreck from Georgia Tech. And you want to talk about super steam. Minus 21, this line open at now down to 15, Virginia and Georgia Tech. Wow, that's some serious line movement in this game.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on with that big, huge, major move here. It may be just looking at Virginia for what they are, a very good, staunch defensive team, but really lacking. Really, really crippling offense here. So maybe, you know, they look into that. They see that. They see Georgia Tech in a spoiler role here tonight. But I agree with the move. It's Georgia Tech. A lot of history in this series here, especially on this floor. They come in off a 20-point beat. Virginia wins a big revenge game their last game. I think Georgia Tech's still the right side of the game. But, you know, you're chasing a bad number right now as we're speaking. But only the Ramblin' Wreck for me in the game.
Interesting movement as well right now with Texas and Kansas State. Money coming in on Kansas State right now, Mark. It was 3 all day. It's up to 3.5 right now.
Yeah, the Big 12, you know, you kind of scratching your head wondering, you know, what's exactly going on in this conference here. And, you know, some teams playing themselves out just when you think the teams like an Iowa State have packed it in. What do? They go out and they pull upsets. Kansas State, a basketball team, it's a little bit difficult, you know, getting a handle on. I'm going to be surprised at anybody that comes out of this Big 12 conference here. Whoever wins this conference, I think, is beatable immediately in the big dance. There's just no staunch team here. Kansas State sitting with 19 wins, looking for that 20th victory here tonight. But to me, you throw a blanket over these teams and play the dog in these basketball games because they're that competitively priced.
Yeah, Mark, you were talking, too, about Kansas and the record that they're trying to set, but I'm with you. I look at this conference as there's a lot of pretenders in this conference, a lot of teams I think we can fade in the tournament. And I know they need to win one more year to set that record, but I'm not sure if it's going to happen this time around. Rock Chalk Jayhawk, I'm not really down with that program. I think they're a little bit overrated.
They're a little bit overrated, largely, Cam, on name and reputation. I think to their credit, maybe to say here of late, they're playing their best basketball of late here because they weren't playing good ball all season long. But they've kicked it in gear here right now. They're going to end up being the team to beat, and it's going to be a big, big basketball game when they play Saturday, Texas and Tech and Kansas. That'll be obviously determine who wins that Big 12 championship, and if Kansas wins the game, they can go on to win that 14th consecutive Big 12 title. Nobody's ever done that before.
They're hot, but they let you down in the tournament all the time.
They're gonna win the Big 12 for sure. And, you know, the thing with the Big 12 tournament is I don't know how much they care. That's the thing. Bill Self is worried about trying to go deep in a national championship picture. And you're right, Cam. They've disappointed in the tournament at times. But Kansas are an elite basketball team playing great basketball. They've shown a great resilience this year of winning on the road. This is a tougher Kansas team than in past years, in my opinion. I think Kansas are legitimate national championship contenders. And it's wide open, obviously. There's, you know, there's probably about 6 to 8 teams that can legitimately win this thing. But I think Kansas are right there. I think, to me, Kansas, they're mentally tougher than usual. And they're kind of flying under the radar. They're a younger team than they normally are. They're normally stacked with these guys that have been there forever. They're a little bit of a younger team, but they've shown that they can win on the road. And that's a big thing come tournament time.
Well, they're the number 6 ranked team with RPI ranking, so you know they're not going to stay too far under the radar, if you will, when the big dance gets here. I think right now I agree with you, Gabe. They are a little bit because of their poor play all season long to date. But let me ask you guys this question. Saturday, Kansas at Texas Tech. What do you make the line?
I would make it
KU minus 2.5.
I think it'll be, what do you think? I think it'll be 1.5. You know, Kansas favored by 1.5, maybe 3. In between 1.5 and 3, I would imagine, since they just have been so good on the road.
Well, the power ratings, as we're speaking right now, guys, are pick 'em, okay? And the reason I'm bringing this up is if Kansas, for whatever reason, doesn't come favored in the game, they've been favored 31 games in a row against Texas Tech. They've won 16 of the last 17. That loss was the only meeting this year that snapped a 16-game win streak. So there's a ton of pedigree and a ton of history on Kansas in that basketball game. So if this game gets anything less than the basket here, I think the Jayhawks would be the right side in the contest.
Mark, one thing I'm noticing tonight, there's a lot of trends that catch my eye this evening. One of them is Penn State absolutely owns Michigan. Penn State owns Michigan. Yet you know they've gone over the number 10 straight times, the last two times these two teams have played. You wouldn't think of Penn State and Michigan as being a high-scoring series, but it's gone over 10 straight times, guys. Mark, you wrote about, Georgia playing good basketball right now. Big win against the Gators. 10-2 against the spread the last 12 trips. To South Carolina. There's a lot of heavy trends on the board this evening. I mean, with past history, this is one of them.
There are, and what's nice is when you can take these trends and move them into good teams. And Georgia, a little bit of an under-the-radar type team, really scrapping and clawing, looking to do everything they can. You got to look at them whenever they puppy up here because they've got some pedigree. And you talked a little bit about that Michigan-Penn State basketball game here. Nice setup for Penn State. Number one, it's their last home game of the season, senior night, so you know they're going to come out. They've got revenge. They got revenge. Michigan took them out last year, and you got Michigan off that big win over Ohio State here. This is a real nice setup for Penn State. But honestly, I thought this game was going to be more like about 2, but they're making you pay a little bit of a price. We're paying a little bit of a price for the situation and the way Penn State's playing this year.
The 4 is a little high. 4, yeah. And you know what? The totals come down, actually, from 135 to 134.
Ooh.
I don't think people are aware that it's gone over 10 straight times. Similar situation. You don't think of Syracuse as an over team, but Syracuse have been on a little bit of an overrun right now. North Carolina have been scorching to the over as well. Interesting game in the SEC. Couple interesting games in the SEC tonight. The Florida Gators, you know, Mark, the Gators have lost 10 times this year, but I think they've had the lead in every game in the second half that they've lost. There's been a lot of heartbreakers. I've looked at the Gators as a sleeper come tournament time just because it's so wide open and they have so much talent. Now they're getting 4 points tonight against the Vols. What's your take on this one?
Well, you know, now they're changing roles, okay? It's a very disappointing Florida basketball team, but still a lot of talent on that team. You know, they were recruited and expected to be a 1, 2, or 3 team in the conference this year. They've underachieved, for sure they have, but they're coming here up that upset loss, and as you mentioned, now they're the underdog. If you take a look at the history in the series, the last 14 times they've met, as a favorite, Tennessee's only beat the number 3 times. So, you know, that bodes well here, I think, for Florida here. You look for these dogs that have underachieved, that are off of crippling losses here. I think they make for nice plays. That could be Florida here tonight.
Morency, I'll give you a little bit of credit on the weekend. I was on the Twitter when you took DePaul against Seton Hall, and Seton Hall wasn't a very good favorite in the game. Interesting line, though. It looks like a short price. Villanova 19. I know they're starting to run out a little bit of gas there versus DePaul. I don't know if I'm crazy. I'm thinking about maybe going back to the Blue Demons like you did over the weekend because Villanova, they're not blowing anybody out the way they used to earlier. What do you think about this one, Mark? A lot of points there, but I thought the line might be 23-24, not 19.
Well, I think there's some respect here for DePaul. Number one, the game sets well. Villanova off that win that they needed. DePaul with the revenge. They're off the loss here. But I'm not going to be chasing Villanova here right now. I think this is a basketball team that just wants to get to the tournament. They'll probably likely be a number one seed. They will be if they win their conference tourney. But I'm not the kind of a guy that wants to go out and lay these kind of points into a team like DePaul who's capable of coming and playing in a basketball game. That would probably have been an eligible big ugly dog type play for DePaul tonight. But I'm going to let it go. I think there's another play out there that's got a little bit better for a big ugly dog type situation here tonight. Take a look, guys, at Duquesne against St. Bonaventure this evening here.
Yeah. Bonnie's off that big win. Right?
Exactly.
Yep.
Bonnie off the big win. Duquesne with the revenge. Duquesne off the loss here. This is where the big ugly dogs bark here. Look at Duquesne plus the point, guys, tonight.
Don't you forget about me, says Mark Lawrence. Playbook.com. Always a pleasure, Mark.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Be good. Let's hope the ball bounces our way tonight.
Yep. Like, really, you know, at this point, the ball's going to bounce and hit me in the face. Red Heat and Rage Radio continues.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. Well, I guess it's fitting, Darth, that after all this, that now that would have mic issues.
Yeah, I don't know what's I don't know what's happening, but I sound I tried to turn it down on my side a little bit. I sound loud.
You sound nice and smooth.
Smooth. You want to switch headsets?
No, then we're just gonna have the same problem.
So we're gonna sit. We got some guests on coming up on the show. We got Tony Cincata, 6 o'clock, breaking down the DFS. We got a little bit of DFS golf. For we've got some plays that we could play at super prices. Tiger Woods on DraftKings, $8,200. It seems a little bit expensive. We'll talk about guys that we like and guys that we don't like at that price. Also interesting stuff. A lot of Europeans coming over for the Honda Classic. Gabe, as we switch from beautiful California to Florida to play the Bear Trap. Things get really, really interesting at the Bear Trap. Some very tough holes. Sergio Garcia making his debut over there. Ty Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, a lot of other guys coming over. So we got DFS with Tony. We got some hockey to break down. And NBA returns tomorrow night.
Yeah,
we got some great stuff.
We absolutely crushed the NHL last night.
It's good, yes.
And we've been doing really well with the college basketball as well. Which wasn't so good was the late-night Olympics once again. Couple of screw jobs with the totals.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. These Olympic totals, I can't believe how low some of these guys are going. But
well, they were going low, Ken. Yeah. All the games went over last night for the most part.
There's no trend.
There was a few.
To find the trend, and then things changed pretty quick. I went to Mark Lawrence's team last night. I went to do a radio show, Gabe, and a guy stiffed Oakley. I had glass seats last night for the Leafs and Panthers last night. Right on the row number one. Best seats I've ever had at a sporting event. I'll tell you something. 6-0 when I've gone to the games. In the last two games that I went to, 5-0 shutout
and another 1-0 shutout. So it's been absolutely fantastic. Yo, no, the hockey card was great last night. Philadelphia got it done. We both were on the Toronto Maple Leafs in that game, riding the Lightning, Nashville. So more picks coming up, too, at the 6 o'clock hour. We got DFS picks and betting picks. Picks galore.
Yeah, the Boston Bruins last night came back. They were down 1-0.
Oh, versus Edmonton. Yeah, that's
when
the Edmonton Oilers are a train wreck.
That's when you can get some value, though, especially in hockey. We talk about the in-game betting. There's a big line swing. So the Boston Bruins were minus 130 favorites. They were down 1-0. And then next thing you know, they're plus 160, plus 170 or so, only down a goal. I think they fell down 2-0 after, actually. You know, two goals in hockey.
You can make it up.
You don't see a ton of comebacks at two, unless you're Las Vegas, which they always come back when they're down two. But one goal isn't the end of the world, Cam. Especially when a team... It was the first period. So, like, Edmonton gets up. All right, it's 1-0 Edmonton. Suddenly they go from being plus 100 to minus 175 or so. It's too much of an adjustment, actually.
It's what we talked about in baseball before. Remember when the Reds were playing the Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds put up a forced putt in the first inning and we're like, ooh, whatever. And then you come back and you get these guys, you get the Cubs, huge favorites in the game as dogs. So, you know what? Boom. I'm telling you, baseball is one of the best sports for live betting. If you like a team, you almost hope the big dog scores early in that game, and then you can get a nice line. And I find the same thing in hockey, Morenci. We're getting teams that you know, that are minus 200 all of a sudden. Boom, you're getting way out. You get them at plus almost 200, and it's only a one-goal game. You said it. You could tie it up real quick, and then once you find a middle spot, then you could take them on both sides, which I really like to do.
Light night in the National Hockey League this evening.
Only a three spot in the National Hockey League tonight. I'm going to tell you something, Gabe. I know we're going to have our DraftKings hockey lineups that I'm going to put together, and I actually am going to go a little bit contrarian tonight. I see a big, big, big dog on the board, probably the biggest dog, not in the late game, but in the early game, and I'm going to take a shot with a couple, I think, Senators tonight against the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks are, you know, they still have pedigree, but they shouldn't be laying 170 to anybody. I don't care if it's even the Senators. So I think I'm going to take a couple chances with some Sens tonight with good value.
You know, we cashed the other night with the Ducks.
Quack, quack, quack. I like the Ducks.
Against Vegas. The question is, do we go against Vegas once again this evening? I was somewhat tempted to.
I was too.
Somewhat tempted to, but I'm not sure they're going to lose two in a row at home, Cam.
It's a good spot. You're right.
It doesn't feel the same as the other night. And, you know, the Flames are generally a good road team, but I think Vegas actually is going to win tonight.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I'm not going to force it.
No, that's the thing about Calgary. What have we known about them? They've been a good road team. Getting 150 tonight, it's very, very intriguing, but a great point that you bring up. One thing we know about Vegas when they're at home, when they make a mistake and they trip up losing 2-0 to Anaheim, I got a feeling they get angry. And that's the thing about this team. They're weird for an expansion team. They play with a lot of pride, and they come back, and they usually get it done. Minus 70 might seem like a lot, but a nice parlay, maybe Vegas with Anaheim. And I think my dirty pooch tonight, Gabe, is the Ottawa Senators at plus 150. Well, I think that's going to be on my ticket.
Hard to want to lay the Chicago Blackhawks.
Minus 170? Yikes.
Against anybody right now. High totals this evening. Cincata's going to have another hockey lineup. I put together a few hockey lineups, actually. Actually, one last night. I should have entered the higher contest, but...
Which contest?
I think I entered a dollar contest.
Yeah, I do the dollar, $2, couple ones just to get your feet wet.
And I won 12.
Hey,
I won $12. So if I would have went a little bit bigger, it would have been a little bit more profitable. But we got another line. I've been doing well, actually. I've been chipping away.
Build the bankroll.
Yeah, DraftKings have been winning a lot of head-to-head matchups. You know, the hockey, tomorrow night, I think it'll get more interesting with the hockey because Tony Cicada talked about this. Me and Tony talked about this yesterday and earlier in the week, in which there's no basketball right now.
Exactly.
So you have a lot of people that are playing hockey that don't really know all that much as they normally would. You got sharp fantasy guys playing.
Yeah.
But they're basketball guys. They don't focus in on the National Hockey League. So the last couple of nights...
The Sharps have been playing in the hockey waters.
Yeah, and, you know, the hockey tournaments never fill up, and or at least, you know, sell out early. And we've been seeing over the last couple of days on DraftKings, the hockey tournament's been filling up a lot because a lot of people that don't play
exactly.
Hockey... Tomorrow night, once the NBA's back.
Going to be some empty holes.
Yeah, those guys aren't going to play hockey. They're going to go back to the NBA.
Exactly.
Because they're going to go, I'm sick of talking about these Finnish guys. And I love Tony Cincata's pronunciation of the hockey players. And I'm not one to talk about pronunciations because I butcher everybody's name. But
Some of the names are tough. Well, they're very, very tough.
He thought I was messing with him when I told him, because he called the Philadelphia Flyers Claude Giroux.
Yeah, Giroux.
Giroux. And I said, it's Claude Giroux. And he said, no, no, it's not Giroux, it's Giroux. And I told him, dude.
No, like, Giroux.
It's Claude Giroux. Tony dropped some offensive jokes after that.
I love Tony. He's amazing. He's a wicked guy. No, it's good. And I'll tell you something, too. Think about Tony is, even when he tries something new, he's been playing DFS for so long, he finds ways to make it work. He finds ways to, even like hockey is a sport that he says, hey, you know, I'm not really, you know, down with it, but he has so much skills from doing the other sports that he could put a nice lineup together. That's the thing. There's a trick to it.
Well, it's like betting. Yeah. It's basically like betting. You know, I'm not an expert on a lot of sports that I bet on, but I understand numbers and
exactly.
Point spread movement, right? So, yeah, Tony's sharp. And listen, Tony's from Boston, man. He grew up watching the Bruins lose to the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, he's good. We're going to have a lot of stuff to go over. I tell you, this golf tournament, Gabe, is going to be a real, real good week. If the favorites don't win, I think there's a lot of beautiful numbers. Guys between 25, 35 to 1. There's some great players at 50 to 1. The Daniel Bergers of the world that we can take. And I think we can make a lot of money with some top 5, top 10s this week. And we're going to have some DFS. And I got a 6-pack for you with a couple bombs.
Yeah, I'm starting to buy into Tommy Fleetwood a little bit.
Tommy Fleetwood will be bet this week. I think it's going to take him a little bit. He got his feet wet last week in California. Also missed a lot of putts. Now, I'm going to tell you something about these Florida courses. The winds are going to get crazy. Things are going to get different there. That's why European guys, a lot of them low ball hitters, they like to thrive in the wind. And I'll tell you, that's why the Sergio, Alex Noren, all these European guys are at the top of the betting board. Rory McIlroy, I'm not going to take him because his price is too high. But Ty Hatton, the Brit, and Tommy Fleetwood, definitely on my betting card, Gabe. I love them. 28, 30 to 1, great price. Great price.
So, Ricky Fowler, 8-1 favorite.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Ricky Fowler, he's a good golfer and stuff.
To me, that's a crazy bet.
That number, Ricky Fowler is not an 8-1 guy. I don't care if he's the defending champion. He should be about 16-1. I've had him a couple times this year. He's really, really let me down on the weekend, especially on Sunday in the Waste Management Tournament before the Super Bowl. I needed Fowler. He was horrible on Sunday. So, you can't justify taking Ricky Fowler at 8-1. That's a bad, bad, bad number. I told you, you should be with Sergio. Look at Sergio. You're getting Sergio Garcia at 18, Tommy Fleetwood at 28, Ty Hatton at 28, yet you're going to give me Fowler at 8?
No, and if Ricky Fowler wins at 8-1 and I'm not on him, it's not enough money for me to get frustrated about it, where, I knew it, I should have been on Ricky. Look, I noticed, man, every time people build up one golfer going into a tournament, Cam.
Never works.
No. A couple of weeks ago it was DJ. Oh, DJ, he's going to run away with everything. DJ.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he did.
Came back on Saturday and gagged on Sunday.
You know, suddenly now you got Ricky Fowler. Ooh, 8-1, Ricky Fowler. Rory's at 10-1. Justin Thomas, 10-1. Garcia's 18-1. Tommy Fleetwood, 28-1. Like I said, he's catching my eye.
I like Tommy Fleetwood at 28.
He's catching my eye.
Ty Hatton at 28 looks good to me. Brian Harman at 40, great. This guy shot a 61 on this course before. Russell Knox. See, that's where I'm going to be heading. I'm going to hit the Tommy Fleetwood, Ty Hatton range at 28, 30 to 1 and work my way in that zone because I think there's a lot of great picks there.
My guy's going to be Kevin Kisner.
Yeah, Kisner plays well. Actually, Kevin Kisner actually plays 50, well at
55 to 1.
I like that. He almost made my six-pack.
I think Kisner would be worth a look, actually, in on the top 20 props as well.
He's actually a good look at DFS, DraftKings, and FanDuel and stuff like that, too. I think he's a good pick.
Plus,
good price.
Plus 225 for Kevin Kisner to finish in the top 20.
Ooh, really? For top 20? I was going to say top 10. That's pretty good odds.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's pretty good odds for everybody actually to be in the top 20. Look, Ricky Fowler's minus 225, top 20. Mm-hmm. Rory's minus 200, top 20. Justin Thomas, minus 200, top 20.
I like Tommy Fleetwood and Ty Hatton, definitely top 20. Love those picks. You can give me those guys. I'll take Fleetwood, Hatton, Harmon.
Fleetwood
is
plus 137.
Yeah, you want a little bit more, but I think you'll finish top 20. He'll finish top 20. Harmon is a guy to look out for the game. I like where you're going, though. I like that pick. You talked about Kisner. Brian Harmon, the former Georgia Bulldog, he will do really, really well in this Florida swing. He's taking some time off, too, because he was getting a little bit tired. 40-1 is a great price.
Yeah, I like the Daily Roto. Daily Roto is great stuff, actually. We're going to be talking to I'm going to be talking to a dude from Daily Road a little bit later on that's coming to Toronto for the DraftKings hockey tournament. But I like the DailyRoto.com percentages of finishing in the top 20. I think, you know, it saves gamblers a lot of work. That's the thing I always talk about. You know, people have asked me, does gambling on sports forever help you in fantasy more? Or is it the other way around? And I actually think knowing all the fantasy angles and trends actually help you more in gambling.
Yes, I agree.
It goes both ways, obviously. It's a give and take. But, you know, there's so much data, and the fantasy guys put so much ultra deeper analysis into this stuff than just the gamblers do. You know, the gamblers pretty much, you know, points per game. All right, this team is not a good rebounding team. But the data only goes so far, and it sort of stops around, you know, what the point spread trends are. You get into the fantasy data, and it's just so much deeper, and then that could be translated into prop betting as well. So where I'm going with this is, if you're a sports bettor and you bet on sports every day, and you're thinking, I don't need Daily Roto. What, you know, I'm not a Roto guy. I'm not a fantasy guy. I don't need Daily Roto.
No, you need it.
But if you're betting and you want, you know, you're actually one of these bettors that wants all the possible information, and then you're betting on props as well, it's a great tool to have, man.
It's a definitely. It's they a break great down tool. Everything too. It's like Mark Lawrence's supercomputer.
Yeah, like basically, if somebody's a great fantasy matchup, then obviously they're going to be a good prop matchup. Mm-hmm. So you can correlate between good fantasy matchups. Now the problem is, when you get a lot of fantasy like value picks, there's not always props for the guys that it's going to be value picks for. You know, like there's not props, you know, for every basketball player on the team.
Exactly.
You know, just the star players.
The main guys will give you props.
Yeah, but I'm saying, though, that the fantasy information can really help you from a gaming perspective.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. Rage! All right, Lou from Gamblu.com will join us in a couple of minutes. Big hockey game tonight. USA versus Canada. Women's gold medal on the line.
Who do you like? USA.
It's a toss-up.
It's a real tough game.
It's like betting on a UFC heavyweight fight. Basically, anything can happen. It's a toss-up, but Canada as an underdog is hard to pass up.
I agree with Canada as an underdog. I just think we've talked about this before. I think USA, when it comes down to it, they got really, really, really skilled. The skill of their team, I think, is a little bit higher. I find Canada does a couple other little things better, but it's going to be real, real tough. When these teams get together, it's usually a classic. But I kind of lean USA, Gabe. Kind of lean USA in this game.
The money's been coming in on the USA. As they opened up as a minus 118 favorite. It's been bet up to about minus 139 or so. We'll do a check here, actually.
Market watch.
Let's see where it's at right now. Listen, can't you know, the U.S. always beat Canada, except in the Olympics when a gold medal is on the line. And it's been four straight, Cam. Four straight gold medal victories for Team Canada over the American women. There's a lot of pressure on the American women. They feel the pressure.
You know, they do, and that's the thing.
It's frustrating for them because you know,
yeah, because they beat them around it in any other tournament, and then things get real, and then it's very, very tough for them. I'm just saying
they were probably the better team in a game that they played earlier in a tournament as well. They hit like three crossbars. The puck went right through the crease. Like the American chicks really did have bad luck.
Very, very bad luck
in that game. But Canada, you know, Canada dig down deep. All right. Wow, big, even more line movement. USA minus 160.
Ooh, that's getting that's high.
That's actually
very, very high.
That's with like overtime included.
That's everything.
That's sort of like you know, to hoist the trophy. Wow, no, it's minus 162 right now. That's insane. Canada is now plus 135.
It's a bit of value.
And you know what's insane is there's not a lot of Americans that are betting on this. You know, how many American sports bettors are like, oh, yeah, I'm betting on the U.S. tonight?
Yeah.
They're not.
There's hardcore people, but yeah, percentages.
Americans can't barely bet on hockey.
Yeah.
You think they're betting on women's hockey?
No, not very much, but a lot of people in Canada will.
You think Lou's bookie in Phoenix, Arizona has women's hockey?
I bet Lou likes hockey, though. He might have an angle.
Yeah, Lou likes hockey. Yeah, so basically, though, there's a lot of Canadian bettors who are betting against Canada in this spot. Because a lot of these offshore books have a hell of a lot more Canadian customers. They're not even, a lot of these books, like Bet365, doesn't even have any American customers. And all the money's coming down to the U.S. I can't believe this. USA are now minus 162. Canada plus 135. The total is 5.5, minus 286 to the under. Let's bring in Lou from Gamblu.com. What's going on, Lou?
Not too much, guys, and I was stunned when I saw that hockey line, to be honest with you. And when I look, I'm looking at five dimes now. You can get Canada for the first 60 minutes plus a half a goal, minus 125. Sign me up for that right now. I'm in.
That's actually a good bet, the regulation bet. If you think the game's going to be going to overtime or you think the game's that's actually, Lou, I thought it would be maybe plus a half, like minus 140. That's actually pretty good value if you think the game's going to be tight, and they usually are.
It was 2-1 earlier, and, yeah, you know, they hit the post. The puck went through the crease, but the bottom line was when they painted the little F up next to the number, it was 2-1. If you look at the totals, under 4.5, minus 145. This is going to be a tight, close game.
You know, I think it's going to be a 2-1 game. I think it's,
like the under?
Yeah, I do like the under, but it's minus 286 right now. So you got to wait for the in game to pop up, and then it'll pop up to 4.5. But I find it interesting, Lou, speaking to a lot of Canadians, and I'm seeing them on Twitter, they're like, oh, I don't like doing this. You know, I don't like being unpatriotic, but I'm betting on the Americans tonight. I think the U.S. is going to win. And now you're in Arizona, and you're like, oh, too much value to pass up on Canada. And I look at this, Lou. Basically, Canada, U.S., this is, it's like, you know, I don't know, man. It's like a UFC heavyweight fight. We'll get to the UFC in a second. You know, you want to take the underdog if you can between Canada and U.S. because anything can happen. But we can't overlook the fact, Lou, that Canada has beaten the U.S. in four straight Olympic gold medal games. They just, you know, the Americans have had a hard time beating Canada when it counts.
The Canadians have won four straight gold medals against the United States, and now you're going to dish him as a dog. Either I'm really stupid or I'm too grounded in history. But call me both. I'm all over Canada here. And God bless the United States girls when I watch it. I got to tell you that until I just saw you guys, heard you guys talking about it and saw these numbers, I would have surely been watching tonight, pulling for the United States, but I can't now because my money's on Canada.
The thing is about patriotism, Hey, none of these teams. I always tell Gabe Morenci, and I say, hey, is Canada, are these guys going to pay my mortgage? No. Are the American, it's betting. You know what? When it comes to patriotism, sometimes you just got to think about your wallet and your units. Not even talk about what country it is, Lou. You want winners. It doesn't matter who you're cheering for.
I'm purely, and that's really well said, Cam, I'm purely a mercenary for profit. And again, if I don't have an interest in the game, I'll watch, and I tend to want the dog. But if there's interest in the game, I'm totally one-sided in how I view it, even though in a fight or in a hockey game, I'm able to view it, you know, as it is. If the calls are going one way or the other, I'm not a homer. But I'm all about the profit if I decide to invest.
I crushed it by betting against the Canadian curling women.
Oh, the Canadian curling women struggling.
Yeah, Rachel Holman a lot of pressure. Yeah. There was tension with the curlers.
With the Denmark thing about the burnt rock and whatever. They actually had a lot of negative press go against them too.
Yeah, and there was, like I was going to say, there was tension amongst Team Canada. With Emma Mishkiw and with Rachel Holman, you could tell it was obvious tension. And then the other night, basically, she's like, "Ah, whatever, we're already going to lose anyways," which you don't usually hear. Like, it was just sort of real, like, "Oh wow, hey, these girls, like, they're not liking each other very much right now." But we were able to take advantage of it, like you said, man. Patriotism doesn't pay the bills, like Cam said. But with that being stated, so yeah, we think Canada is the play tonight, guys. And you know what? If Canada was a -162 favorite tonight, I would say that the U.S. is the play. Like, I would say, no, you can't lay -162 of Canada in this play.
Oh, if Canada was -162, I'd smash the United States.
It's basically like Lou stated. It's the number, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're just smarter than we are, or we're dumb. We're walking right into the trap. But let's jump into the UFC here, Lou. UFC on Fox 28. Stevens versus Emmett. Lou?
Sorry, my earpiece must have gone out. I'm sorry. I missed just the last couple seconds.
I said, yeah, UFC. You're wearing
an ear pierce. That's interesting, Lou. That's cool.
It makes
well,
it makes
I was sense. I'm wearing Beats. I'm wearing Beats, but there must be something wrong with them. Excuse me, guys.
Yeah, I know. No, you know what? I can't get mad, Lou. First off, Beats by Dre are the biggest scam out there.
Yeah, just get regular headphones.
Yeah, you can go to the dollar store and get as good. I bought a pair of Beats by Dre for somebody for Christmas once. Like 2 months later, I'm like, "Hey, where's your headphones?" She's like, "Oh, they broke. I didn't want to tell you."
Yeah, I got a $30 pair of Panasonics. They rock.
Yeah, yeah. So trust me, Lou, I'm about to smash the headset that I'm wearing.
Don't
right
do it,
now.
Gabe. Don't do it.
Like, I'm this close to, like,
don't
throwing
it.
So
don't do it.
The fact that you're having, makes me feel better, actually, Lou.
Yeah, we're all having technical issues.
Makes me feel better. I'm just glad we didn't lose you right there. So Emmett versus Stevens, UFC on Fox 28. Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, I like this card. I think there's some good spots on the card. If we're going to start with the main event, you know, I try and spot underdogs, and I struggled with this one, but I've really come to the realization, and I came to it a couple days ago. I'm going to side with Jeremy Stevens here. And after all the analysis, and we can get into it, the bottom line is Emmett's strike defense is suspect. And he trusts his chin, and I think he trusts it too much against a guy with the power and the experience and the current ascent of Jeremy Stevens.
One thing I'm seeing now, too, we always talk about this, Lou, when fighters start looking ahead, start talking about other fighters. Remember Ngannou? Oh, I'm going to fight Brock Lesnar. And it's like, dude, you got to worry about my Usyk right now. I'm seeing Josh Emmett. Oh, once I beat Stevens, I deserve a title shot. And, you know, this and that and the other stuff. Instead of just focusing in on Stevens. So Emmett's 13-1. He's on a nice, he's on a two-fight win streak right now. You know, it's like it's not like he's lit the world up. Yeah, he's 13-1, but he's fought in John Tuck, Scott Holtzman, Desmond Green, Felipe Arantes, and Ricardo Lamas. So the win against Ricardo Lamas is an impressive one, yes, but he's got to prove more before he's starting to talk about title shots. And then you get Jeremy Stephens, who feels like he's been fighting for freaking ever, but he is only 31 years old right now, Lou, and he's on a two-fight win streak.
He's 2 years younger than Emmett, actually. And when you mention Emmett's record, to me, I really focus on three of the fights. The Lamas fight I throw out, it was short notice for Emmett. And if you'll remember, he came into that fight 3 or 4 pounds heavy. And most of my MMA mentors or the people that I talk to in between the time we get to speak each week, they think I should be giving Emmett a pass. I don't like the fact that with an hour left, he just declared that he wasn't going to make the weight. But I'm told that that's often what they do as a courtesy. When you know you're not going to make the weight, they claim it. I'm not as sold on Lamas as being a top five fighter when Emmett beat him as everyone else. I look to the loss to Green as telling. Green outgrinded him. He was a little bit taller and bigger man and gave Emmett all the trouble he wanted. And against Green, Emmett didn't display an abundance of power. And then lastly, against Holtzman, he's an MMA lab prospect, and if you want to look at that fight closely, you come away with more respect for Holtzman based on where Emmett is right now. So what I'm taking a long time to say is that I think the ascent for Emmett is a little too quick. I do believe that talking about what you're going to do after a fight like this, while a young man or a man young in his ascent in a championship sport can dream like that, I think that all the professionalism and the focus that I'm seeing from Stevens has swayed me to declare he's my side. We released him minus 150 a day or two ago, and I think he's a little higher than that. Now, if you're a Jeremy Stevens backer, you best take him right away, because I do think the line may continue to go upward.
Yeah, I see some buck 60s and buck 65s. What do you think, Gamblu, about not GSP, OSP versus Latifi? This one's actually a pretty tight fight. OSP's laying a buck 20 or a buck 25. Very, very tight. What's your opinion on this one?
I really am looking hard at Latifi here. And the reason I'm looking hard at Latifi is because Ovin St. Preux, as dynamic and capable an athlete as he is, he's still learning and really acquiring octagon IQ. He can get tagged, and while he'll have tremendous reach and athleticism over Latifi, this fight will be determined by distance. And if OSP has the distance and can keep Latifi out and keep him at the end of his punches and kicks for 15 straight minutes, OSP's liable to get his hand raised. But I don't trust his IQ. I think Latifi knows exactly that he has to get inside that reach and level power shots at OSP, and I think he gets it done. Latifi at any kind of plus price is a target.
Latifi's a dangerous fighter, Cam, if he connects.
He looks like a good pooch to you, even though a small pooch.
Yeah, no, you know, it's you know,
tough fight.
Yeah, it's a pick-em for a reason for the most part. But I agree with you, Lou. OSP is going to get into a brawl with him, I think. I don't think OSP is going to be like, oh, I'm scared of you, you know, of Latifi. I think, you know, he's going to get in there and trade. You're right. It's taken him a while. You look at OSP. You know, OSP was a linebacker with the Tennessee Volunteers.
Nice.
So he's put the work in over the years to become a better mixed martial artist, and he has. But like you said, he doesn't fight very smart at times. You know, and I think he could get baited into thinking. I think he's going to look at Latifi and think, this guy, you know, fat white guy. You know, I'll be able to, you know. Robbie Fass. He won't catch me. I'll be able to strike and get in and out. But Latifi's a dangerous guy who's fought in a lot of tough fighters before, Lou.
With 100% takedown defense. So if Latifi can maintain that and not allow OSP to try and tackle him, and this thing has to stay on the feet, I really think Latifi's going to touch him.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll continue our conversation with Lou, Gamblu.com, UFC on Fox. You know, it wasn't the biggest star-laden card the other night, but there were a lot of good fights, and usually that's the case. But my whole point was, it just seems like the UFC is just sort of giving up, or, you know, to be honest, I think they know Fox is not going to renew their television deal, and they're just screwing them on the way out. Because really, you charge a network $107 million?
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
I hate everything. I hate everyone. Red heat and rage. I hate everything. I hate everyone. Red heat and rage. People actually enjoy it for some reason when you and I are rattled, though.
I don't know. I think we're doing, you know, we're not really rattled. We're here. We're getting things done. We got Gamblu on the line.
Oh, I'm rattled.
Talking.
I'm rattled.
Sorry. Yeah.
You know what it is, though? Like, when I'm rattled,
yeah,
it's just sort of like, you know, it's still a good show.
Yeah.
But you don't get the full Morenci. You're not getting the full jokes, the full.
Yeah, you're
full
more. Yeah, that's
the. You notice, like,
the anger's still there.
It's just more like all business.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean? So you can't say, oh, yeah, it was terrible. No. They talked about sports.
We're just not as loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. No, we're normally, dials and this dials.
Normally, during the commercial breaks, me and Cam will crack jokes and stuff, but today there's no jokes. It's just, you know, awkward tension, silence, and me. And Cam sees me, and he's like, no, don't do that.
I'm just looking at you. I just want everything to be cool. That's all, you know, because I love you, buddy. I just don't want you to, because I know I could see, like, basically, I know when you're angry, because the one vein in your head pulsates a little bit more, and I'm just waiting for you to smash
in the middle of my forehead.
I see it, and I'm right across.
I feel it pulsating.
I know, it's pulsating. And my face gets redder. Like, I'm basically, like, I look like a Merlot right now. So, anyway, it is what it is.
Like, I have the stress level of a cop or something. Like, you
know what I mean? We're doing a damn radio show.
Like an angry cop that, like, hates life and hates everyone.
Damn,
like,
it. This cold case is killing me. I can't sleep at night. I look through the files. I got the same suspects. Exactly.
Now, I'm the guy driving in the squad car going, look at these punks. Wish I could just... You know, beat their faces in, but I can't.
No, you can't touch them.
Dumb mayor. All right, let's bring Lou back.
Lou.
Sorry, Lou. We're just getting a little frustrated.
It's a crazy day, Lou.
You guys are the king of digression. I love it.
Yeah.
We're something, Lou.
You king are something, biking. And I love the pulsating vein. Stay away from the pulsating vein.
Yeah, it's throbbing a lot today. Morenci's vein's really throbbing.
It reminds me of the episode of The Simpsons when Mo opened up Mo's Family Feedback.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I love Mo's Family Feedback.
He had, like, French fries in a basket on his head. And there's these little girls, sing happy birthday, and he's trying to smile.
Yeah.
It's just great. They show Krusty, like, at the bar. There's a bar. Like... It's like happy hour, Krusty, and he looks over, and same thing. Mo is like, it's pulsating his forehead. Krusty's like, that guy's about to blow.
Exactly.
He's like, oh, look at that guy. He's about to snap.
Love
and if you remember, Mo started yelling at the little girls, shut up, you little brats.
I love Mo's family feedback, too. Even the chandelier was deep fried. Remember, everything just came out.
You're like the you're like Homer there. You went to a buffet. And
yeah.
They were like, you got to leave, sir.
No, yeah. Do I look like a guy who's been satisfied? No. Yar. He just kept on eating.
You said all you could eat.
Exactly. Lawsuit.
So OSP and Latifi.
This is the fight that you guys like.
It's a tough fight, man. It's not a great betting fight, I don't think. I'm sort of with Lou. You know, Lou, this is once again is the number. Even though Joey Odessa always used to say, don't bet fights because of the number. You know, bet a fight because if you like the fighter to win, yes or no.
That's good advice.
Not, oh, I like it at this odds, but I don't like it at these odds. But when it comes down to this, this fight is really a toss-up. So for betting purposes, I can't sit here and go, oh, no, this fight's a lock, Lou. It's not a lock. It's a tough fight between OSP and Latifi.
No question about it. I think it's to some sense correlated. I can't see OSP taking him out. I really like the
over 2.5. You're exactly right. And OSP is a tough-ass son of a bitch. You know, we've seen he's hard to finish as well. We've seen him. We saw the fight against John Jones. You know, the only thing is he has a tendency to get hit and get close and get in the pocket and allow damage to happen.
You're saying his discipline sometimes, he gets a little bit too, it gets out of the game plan.
He's a great athlete, Cam, who's ripped, and he's a former football player.
Yeah, exactly. Enough said.
So he doesn't I'm scared.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And he can get into dangerous
situations. Yeah, it's not like he's overly confident sometimes,
good
basically.
Call.
He overestimates his abilities, I think, sometimes. That's a good way of putting it. He overestimates, like, I'll be okay if I do this. It's like, no, don't do that. But at the same point in time, he's not reckless or say, I think the over 2.5 is the way to go here, Lou.
If you do, I think that lends one to possibly think that the OSP could have his way. I think that if you like the under, then maybe you think Latifi can touch him up. You know, OSP against Manoa and Ozdemir, and granted, those guys got decent power. He got touched up, and then he got, you know, Rogério de Lima, who's all he's got is power, Okami, who's a statue, and Anderson, whose beak is made of porcelain. To me, the win against Tyson Pedro, Latifi's last out, is all I got to see. I like Latifi here. To me, this is a dog or pass. I could not bet OSP at Pick'em, or certainly not with a minus number next to his name.
So, Lou, let me ask you, what did Max Griffin ever do to Dana White and to Sean Shelby? I guess Shelby's left hard to keep up with who's matchmaking. I only say this because Max Griffin's taking on Mike Perry. And Mike Perry's
he's gonna kill him.
He's a big dick. He's a big jerk, Mike Perry. He just is. You know, he's just an asshole. And he's not the biggest jerk in, you know. Somehow like he's not the biggest jerk in the UFC anymore, which is actually saying something when you consider what a jerk he is. But I'm just saying the guy he's fighting here, Lou, and Max Griffin. You know, Max Griffin's fought in Colby Covington. And now he gets Mike Perry. And when I say the biggest jerk, Colby Covington might be the biggest jerk in the UFC.
Well, they think this fight's going to be quick because the total's 1.5.
Yeah, so I'm just stating, and the guy's nickname, Cam, is Payne. Max Payne Griffin.
Yeah, he's going to feel
like the
pain.
Poor bastard. Like, they put him up there against, like, the biggest jerk killer dudes all the time. What do you make of this fight with Max Payne Griffin and Mike Perry?
Yeah, I think this is just a beautiful Picasso piece of matchmaking by Sean Shelby to open up the card, or at least the main event portion of the card with this fight, because I can't imagine in my wildest dreams, in my wildest imagination, that this is going to be anything other than what you've just described, and that's two guys go right to the center of the octagon.
Yeah, this isn't mixed martial arts.
This is a throwdown.
It's straight up, let's dance.
Yeah, like Mike Perry isn't like trying to do any jiu-jitsu.
No, they want
to
kill each
other. Mike Perry's going to say, I'm going to knock you out.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
That's it's low total.
It's mixed martial arts because he'll knee you in the face if he can. You know what I mean? He'll kick you in the face if he can. But, yeah. And good point, Lou. They're putting this on TV because they know it's going to be ultra-violence. And another thing is, Perry's coming off a loss, so they want to get him back in the winner's circle here too, right? They don't want him going on a losing streak.
I don't know about that. I mean, maybe his aggressive nature and his vocabulary and demeanor can help put butts in the seat, but his skills are very minimal. He's just a brawler. Now, Max Griffin ain't going to light
the UFC
on fire.
The UFC's been pushing this guy big time. The more racist and the more stupid he gets, the more they promote him. Let's just be real. You know what I mean? It's like, it is what it is. I mean, you know, Conor McGregor was a racist jackass in the build-up to the Floyd fight. UFC fans ate it up. I tweeted about this the other night, and I'm not putting words in your mouth. This is my opinion personally, but I think, you know, the UFC fan doesn't mind a white racist guy, Lou, and the UFC doesn't mind pushing a white racist guy. Just a fact.
Well, the white racist guy's in there against a guy in Griffin that is not a complete slouch. I mean, yeah, he got beat by Covington, but that wasn't a striking affair. And the loss to Zaleski dos Santos in Brazil, to me, showed some capability and toughness.
It does. No, I know, but I'm not taking anything away from Max. But let's be real. Look at the UFC. His first fight, he fights against Colby Covington in the UFC, who's projected to be a future champion. They send him to Brazil. In the UFC's mind, he's the Washington Generals.
He's the punching bag.
I'm not saying that he is.
He's not. He doesn't get a. He gets some real tough matchups.
That's why when I opened this up, I said, "What did the poor guy do?"
Exactly.
You know, your first fight in the UFC. Yeah, good for you. You're going to fight a guy that's going to.
You're
be
basically
your
saying he's never been in a good position. He always gets put. He's in tough spots all the time.
Got to earn everything he's got here. This poor guy.
Exactly.
So you think he's got? But like you said, Mike Perry's not great. He just runs his mouth and. He's a powerful striker, right?
Well, and they're going to be in a striking battle, okay? And you're going to tell me that I get the underdog that opened 170. He's now 280. He's going to be over plus 3-1 by fight time. And he's going to have a 5-inch reach advantage arms, 2-inch reach advantage legs. I'm liable to stick my neck out on Griffin. There's no way I bet Perry. No way I bet Perry. He has
no. Wow. I like it.
I just don't like his skills. I'm not going to disrespect the line maker who opened him 170 and continue to think that at plus 280 he's not offering value. So you know, we'll watch weigh-ins and keep an eye on this one. And I'm not. Listen, so far. I've made a move on Stevens. I like Latifi. I'm watching Griffin, so I don't want people to run out and bet Max Griffin. But to me, this is a Griffin. You bet Griffin or you pass.
Well, the way you said it there, Lou, that's what we say in the gambling business. That's a steam movement. If you're talking about a guy going from plus 170 to plus 280, that's insane. So all the money, all the people are thinking Perry's going to absolutely do it. Gabe, you know, a lot of the time when you have so many people on one side, it could end very, very poorly sometimes when that many people are betting on one side.
We should note that the Gilbert Burns Olivier Aubin Mercier fight has been scratched.
Oh, it has.
Yeah, that's just from a couple of hours ago. I want to get to that, actually. It's just recently scratched. So Gilbert Burns and Mercier scrapped Gilbert Burns' weight cut issues. He wasn't going to be able to do it, and he was going to get sick, etc., just trying to do it. All right, Lou, we've only got a couple of minutes left here. Speaking of fall from graces, man, Hennen Burrell and weight cuts. Dude once, you know, Cam, this guy won 30 fights in a row. He was the champion. He appeared to be unbeatable. And then he's got problems making weight. Guy falls like he was so woozy and stuff after trying to make weight. He fell and, like, smashed his face on the side of a bathtub.
Oh, my God.
Like, he was...
Oh, yeah. Like, oh.
Yeah, like, he was in his hotel room, and he already did the sauna and the suit and everything.
Just spaced out and smashed.
Yeah, he was sitting in, like, a hot bath.
That's so dangerous.
They were like, all right, now chill in a bath after... So he's chilling in the hot bath. He gets up. Boom!
Oh, God.
We're talking about a UFC champ, Cam, and he's so weak that he can't stand without falling and smashing his face.
That's crazy.
And now he's lost like a bunch of fights in a row, and he's just another dude on TV now. Henan Burrell takes on... he's a minus 160 favorite in this fight here against Keller. What's your take on this, Lou?
I think this is a live dog alert. To me, Burrell, again, in the fight game, what I've noticed over my decades is that when you lose it quick. And Burrell,
well,
yeah,
we should note that he's not on steroids anymore, too.
Well, here's the deal. Excuse me. Keller is going to come ready to fight. This guy is going to provide this is a huge opportunity for him. He's going to press the fight, try and take it right to Burrell and take Burrell deep. And the question to me, what I'll be watching tomorrow morning, 7 in the morning Mountain Time and 9 Eastern, is the weigh-in stream. Burrell has had so much trouble making 135 over and over again. I believe he's going to have a hard time making it this time. I'm going to watch that weigh-in close, because if he looks a little bit drawn or if he has trouble making it, I'm really going to like that dog price on Keller. At 135, 140, wherever it's sitting right now.
Things change quick in the fight game, Gabe.
I'm showing Cam all the wins.
He showed me the wins, and then I'm saying, like, oh, my God.
Too bad that's not our sportsbook account.
Oh, God, if it was.
Win.
By the way, Gabe, I'm not going to lie to you. And Lou, I almost died in the shower. It's very, very dangerous.
What'd you do?
Oh, I slipped and smashed my head into the stopper and broke the piece of metal in half.
You split it all forward,
gushes and gushes of blood. I passed out in the bathroom. My buddy had to take me to the hospital.
Did you know?
It was the scariest thing I've ever gone through in my life.
There's a better chance.
I'm not even lying to you. It's crazy.
There's a better chance. You falling and killing yourself in the shower than getting killed.
You know the stopper that you lift to make the water go? I broke the thing in half. It's a piece of metal with my face.
You ever fallen, Lou, in the shower, done something stupid?
Dangerous.
No, but I mean that's a scary deal. And Gabe, you're blazing over Cam's tragedy just like it didn't even happen. Cam, I'll give you some love, man. If your face broke the nozzle that the water's coming out of, that's a hard hit, bro. I'm sorry you had to go through with it.
It was really tough, Lou. I've been concussed quite a few times. I think me and Morenci, you've been concussed a few times, many times.
I have a friend of mine. We got into a disagreement while playing Monopoly for real money. And he smashed my face, like in a movie, into a toilet seat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've had my nose broken about 4 or 5 times. Thanks, Lou.
Have a good one, Lou.
All right, guys. Enjoy the week.
We do, Bill. You know, I grew up with my grandparents. So they had the rubber mat.
Oh, yeah.
So I grew up with the mat.
Yeah.
So for like 10 years of my life, suddenly I'm like 11. I'm like, oh, it's slippery in here.
Yeah,
like, I'm
damn right.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Thanks to Lou from Gamblu.com.
Lou. Yeah, the shower's dangerous, buddy. It's you got to be real careful. I'm with you. I should get one of those rubber mats.
Yeah, you really should.
No, they're fantastic. I think they're one of the best purchases you can make. And the people don't understand, too. When you use bar soap instead of body wash a lot of the time, think about this. I've done these studies, too. Bar soap, the way it is with the way the tub is, it makes it clings to the sides, the crevices, and all that other stuff. The body wash foams up a lot more. So when you use bar soap, it gets a little bit slicker in there, Gabe.
Good point.
Got to be real careful. I do. I bring up good points because I usually use a bar soap because it's cheaper.
Okay. You can see some of the stuff lying around here at Melbourne Play Studios.
Yeah, I know that helped. The Fantasy Baseball Magazine from 2014. It was a good year. Got some clam chowder picks. Feel the passion.
Cam, I have football.
You got cords coming out of your
football ingrate. Magazine previews. Like, I have one with Shane Collin on the front page.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's like a future linebacker. Penn State.
Hey, Buffalo Bill.
Linebacker you.
Yeah, exactly. He was a good linebacker. Very good linebacker.
Yeah, so as you can see, there's a lot of cables and a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there is.
So you know what I did, actually? It was dark, and I basically forgot that there was, like, a ton of stuff on the ground, and one of the rooms looks like an episode of Hoarders. So I woke up in the middle of the night, and I took a step cam.
And just into darkness.
Yeah, I tripped over, like, various things. You know what I did? I stepped on a... on an adapter. So like the two bulbs.
Oh, yeah, and it was up.
So like barefoot, I stepped right on it.
Oh, it's like a fork through
your foot. I was getting stabbed, right? I was like, So I moved my foot, but then I twisted sort of sideways. I fell face first.
Into the, thank God there's a lot of bags there. Shirts.
I'm amazed I didn't go through the wall. Like it's one of these thin condo walls. I sort of fell face first into the closet in the dark. So like I basically like stumbled face first into a wall, and I was sober.
I wasn't drunk.
No,
I got a lot of stuff lying around my place. Do I've tripped on my sleep machine cord before? So many other things, man. Bedrooms are dangerous, very dangerous. Side to side, and the side of the bed too. My side of my bed where the mattress joins the thing, very sharp. You got to be careful.
I saw a list of causes of deaths the other day in America because of the shootings that have been going on. And one thing I want to say about this, too, I don't want to get into a gun debate here on the program.
No.
But one thing I want to say, too, is that as far as the kids are concerned, you know, there's a lot of talk about these kids protesting now. And it isn't brought up enough, I think, after these shootings. These kids need to stop being such jerks to each other.
Exactly. Great point. Stop picking on people. Stop being mean to people.
I'm not justifying any of these shooters. He was bullied. No. And he should. No, no. But I'm just stating.
You're right, though. Can we get along?
Kids are like meaner than anybody. And especially high school kids are meaner than anybody, right?
Very true.
And right away when you heard after about the kid, he was strange. No one talked to him. He was a weirdo. Yeah.
Great.
Well, that's why the kid's in his bedroom right now. Because the only friend he's got is that gun, sadly. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I do.
Well, everyone thinks I'm a freak, right? Like I said, I'm not making excuses for anybody. But
I think,
there's such a toxic atmosphere and stuff that there are so many kids that, you know, get picked on, feel hated, they're mocked.
And it's not just a guy thing. I remember when I was going to school with girls, girls would get so jealous of the one chick, you know what I mean? They'd say, she's got sweating through her underarms, or she's got every underarms when she's hot, so the other cliques would come after. That's what I'm saying. Like, the stuff that went on in our high school days was brutal. And now I can't even imagine what's going on. That's all women do is talk crap about other girls. It's ridiculous. It's so stupid.
Women hate each other.
They most do, yeah. Yeah, most of it. I've seen a couple chicks who like each other, but you're right. For the most part, there's a lot of hate going on.
Yeah, no. For the most part, yeah.
There's guys deal with it a lot better, I think.
Like, put it this way. Like, if you see a dude walking down the street wearing, like,
what, elastic bands on his pants?
Whatever. You don't, like, look at his shoes and look at everything.
I just say whatever.
Yeah, but, like, women will look back and think, look at her. Yeah. How she thinks she can
be at
you. Or she thinks she can pull that off.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, girl thinks she can wear that dress. Yeah. Like, they're very
catty.
Yeah, they're not like...
superficial.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah. So I was just stating there, you know, I was thinking about that when I keep hearing about how the kid was a freak and he was weird.
I'm with you.
And it's like, listen, if this kid was a freak and he was weird and
maybe somebody should have been nice to him.
Everyone's ostracizing him. That's why he came back and shot the place. I mean, he didn't even go there anymore.
No, he was expelled.
So he clearly was like, all right, I don't like a lot. Like, that's the thing. Now, listen, for the record, I didn't like a lot of people in school.
Yeah. Exactly.
I didn't shoot them.
That's the thing. You did your own thing.
I just didn't talk to them.
Exactly. Right. There's a good way. But I like your message, man. Like, life's short right now. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. So you know what? If people are different, just embrace it a little bit. Don't be so mean to people. I like that.
I'm a very petty person, though. I went to a high school, and one of the Mr. Shetler. It's pretty funny, too. That was his name. Like, it's so close.
Shetler?
So close to Shetler.
Yeah. Shetler?
Yeah, so Mr. Shetler.
Yeah, nice name.
He terrorized me, this guy.
I've had a lot of teachers over, yeah.
Yeah, so he was like the head principal. He was a real jerk to me and stuff like that. So years later, he asked me to promote some volleyball thing, whatever.
Why, he's a volleyball guy on the side?
I don't know, yeah. Dude. The school made it to something.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, congratulations on your radio success, Gabriel. I was just wondering if you know, I could come on the show, and you know, we could promote the school or whatever."
Sorry, Shetler, it doesn't work. No, I don't think I'm going to promote your volleyball tournament on my damn show.
I don't think I responded.
No, that's the best. leave it blank.
Yeah, and I did go on the show, and I said, "Congratulations, yeah. Props to good luck to the kids," because yeah. I didn't want to screw the kids over, yeah. But. I was thinking, dude, you called the cops on me. Like, you had me arrested in high school.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not going to do you any PR.
Like, come on. Like, you really think?
That's unbelievable.
My high school was like 21 Jump Street, man. I had, like, people in my school wearing wires and stuff.
Oh, yeah, no.
I was same neighborhood. Like, it was a lot of hustlers. Like, basically, everyone in my school, like, at lunch hour, most kids, like, you know, they'll go to the diner. Kids in my school... Like, we'd go rob a house.
Nice.
Like, not me, but, like, basically, it was like lunch hour was basically, oh, yeah, yeah, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, I can't tell you unless you want to.
Our school was the first one in the region with metal detectors.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's funny.
Oh, yeah, we had all kinds of undercover
I'm not going to say it was, like, the toughest school in the world, but remember the turkeys we used to work with? They went to all, like, the rich schools and stuff like that. The one
they should have metal detectors in the school.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
The thing is, though, you have a metal detector at a school, Cam. It's not going to stop someone with an AR-15.
No, it's not. That's the thing. Take out your change and cell phones. Oh, okay, thanks.
You're here, 15. Yeah,
thanks.
Buddy can shoot that door open in a second if he wants.
You said it. It's not really. I understand why you have them, but it doesn't solve the bigger problem.
It's the whole, like, he can, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of things he can do.
Sort of like even with the security guard. Yeah, it's all right.
No offense. And another thing about, we had security guards too. It's kind of like Mr. Furley from, like, Three's Company. Like, he's not doing anything. Like, these kids are in their prime. I don't care if you're smoking weed or smoking cigarettes. Anybody can outrun him or beat that guy up. So he's not much of a security guard.
I suggested you put, like, former military dudes.
I agree with that.
But the problem is, it's going to be inevitable, dude. People are going to start getting shot.
Yep.
Oh, the kid had a backpack. You know what I mean?
I saw a weapon, but there's not been one there.
Exactly.
You're saying it opens up the door for a lot of problems.
Kid was smoking a bowl in the back.
I thought it looked like a knife.
Yeah, I thought it was a grenade. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
you bring up good points there.
Yeah, it's sort of like cops. You know what I mean? Because everyone's just sort of, it just sort of encourages more. But anyways, that was my point. I don't want to get into any sort of serious.
But no, you bring up good points.
Serious.
So the bottom line is, be nicer.
I can probably start with myself.
When you walk to the side of the desk, I'm like, and I see throbbing vein, I'm like, uh-oh, don't do it, Gabe.
I'm telling people,
Gabe, don't hit it.
I'm telling people to be nicer. I'm the one that's like yelling at these kids, you stupid kid.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Because I used to have a policy, and Cam, you remember, I wouldn't rip college kids.
That's true.
I was like, nah, you know, because people are like, oh, that quarterback sucks. McElroy sucks. I was like, dude, he's a kid. Leave him alone.
When he gets a paycheck, then he's open for business.
Yeah, I was like, I ripped the coach in college, but I've abandoned the policy, Cam. I've abandoned the policy. I now rip college kids freely. I just did.
Hey, they're getting a free ride.
All right, speaking of ripping things, I want to get to this. I'll look forward to Sincata's take on this, too. So baseball, Ken.
Yes.
Baseball. They floated an idea here that in the ninth inning, you can send anyone to the plate you want.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No batting order. So sort of like that hockey shootout international stuff when the same guy can shoot over and over?
That's stupid, too.
All right,
you can't do that.
Like, if I told you, like, I'm not joking.
That's why you have lineups. That's why in the National League, the pitcher hits.
So they are discussing. No lineup. You could just take your, you know, you don't get, like, the guy can't bat over and over. Basically, you know, let's say you're going to the ninth inning and you're like, man, we're screwed, man. We got our 7-9 here and they're all 220 hitters.
Yeah, you can and Carlos Stanton.
No,
you
could just go, no, we're sending Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge and Stanton up in the ninth.
No.
No.
It's like you're just.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's ridiculous.
They won't.
It's never going to happen.
They won't do that.
Of course they're not going to do it.
But you know what? You know what they? I think they could do, and they might do, and they're pushing this, and it's already going on in the minor leagues. And this is the same crap when I said they'll never go to 4-on-4 in the NHL. Three. You know what I mean? And then they started in the AHL, and they did it. They don't do these things for nothing, dude.
No, they try out stuff.
They put a lot of work into this and time. They don't do this stuff for nothing. So they're already doing it. They already do it in the Olympics with baseball. Major League Baseball wants, when it goes to the 10th inning, start with runners on first and
second.
Stupid.
Another dumb idea.
They already do it in the Olympics.
Ridiculous.
That's how Canada beat the U.S.
It's
people are all like, Canada
Come
beat
on.
The U.S.
Yeah.
They started with runners on first and second.
That's not it. That's not
Joey Votto hit a double. They got lucky.
It's over.
They scored two runs. Yeah.
No, that's the beautiful thing about baseball compared to other sports. It's hard to get on base. It's hard. Second base.
You know what's crazy? The players aren't against this.
Well,
you know why?
We're not playing there.
You know why?
Why? Because it quick makes the game.
They want to get out of there.
Exactly. Hit the bar.
It's like work for them. Right? That's it's not thing. Like all the integrity of the game.
Last call.
The players are like, you know what, man? I don't want to sit here. I don't want to play 14 innings. Put the guy on first and second. I don't care if we win or lose. Like, people are overestimating whether the players care.
That's a really, really, really good point.
Because people think, God, the players will never go for this.
No,
they'll go for this.
Yeah. If games end a lot earlier, they
you know what they're
to
not
do
going
stuff.
For. They don't want the pitch clock. The pitchers don't want it, and the hitters don't want it.
No, you should be. Baseball's a game without a clock.
I agree. It's up to the ump. You can't set a rule where you stand on the box. You just, you know, it's very simple. You don't give the guy the timeout at the ump. If it's ridiculous, you just tell the batter, listen, hey, Manny, hey, you stay in the box here, bro.
Exactly.
And if you step out, I'm not giving you a timeout. And
who's basically? Remember that pitcher, Rafael Betancourt? That guy was out of control, man. Like, he used to take minutes and minutes and just wiping off the sweat. He's freaking out.
But that
happens.
You know,
that's baseball.
So the players they're adamant about this. They're like, over our dead bodies, you're putting a freaking clock, all right, on the pitches or the batter.
No clock.
Because they don't want that because that messes with them. That messes with their stats. Right? Right?
No one wants to be rushed. No one wants
their
to be
game.
Forced.
Exactly. It messes with their game. Like we get messed with our game. So it messes with their game.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's like we got to be true professionals.
You're messing with the game.
Yeah. So we get messed with. I blame Florio. I'm just kidding.
He's a good guy.
No, Mike's a great guy.
We love him.
I told you. I blame everything in life that happens to me on Apple. But think about it. So the players, they don't like that because they're like, man, it's going to mess me up in a box. And the pitchers are like, no, we're not doing that. But, Cam, the runners on first and second, if you're a player, what are you against this? You get out of there earlier. Your stats. I'm going to get a guy on first and second.
Exactly.
I get to drive him in.
RBI.
You're just thinking
RBI.
The game's over quicker. And wow,
RBI.
Wow, I'll put up bigger offensive numbers.
Ooh, well, look at me, man. I really drive him in. And by the way, it's funny. I met a miscellaneous guy before I went to see you today when I came in early to the show. I didn't even pay the game. It sounded like you. He said the same thing. I told him I'm having problems with my Samsung. My phone doesn't have enough space for stuff, so I have to delete all my video. He goes, you used to see Apple. He goes, this is what the plan is. Every 2 years, they make it absolutely obsolete. So, like, he gave a big speech the way you were about the same thing, saying how much he hates the company.
I just liked when we were on with Lou. Made me feel better. That's what put me in a better mood today.
Lou?
I thought we lost Lou on the phone.
So did we.
I was about to snap.
I was like, sorry, guys, my earbuds.
And then he's like, these stupid beats my tray. I think they're broken.
I'm with you. I think they suck. They suck. The best pair of earphones I ever had were those stupid plush Panasonic ones. They last for 2 decades, and they're absolutely fantastic. They sound great. They were noise-canceling before noise-canceling was around.
You can get decent headphones from the dollar store, but you can't get good Ethernet cables from the dollar store.
No, that's true. Sorry. You can't get Ethernet cables. No, funny thing is, it was $20. You think if it was a piece of crap, it'd be no. Honestly,
Gabe,
no,
it's a cable.
Gabe. I'm actually going to defend you. Like, if it was a piece of crap cable, what do you think it would cost? $1.99, $2.99.
It's a cable.
I'm looking at it. It looks pretty good, actually.
It's a cable.
It looks strong. It looks durable. It looks like a cable.
I like what George, our head tech guy.
George is right. He's so diddly, 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 quick.
Yeah, I like when he asked me, he goes, is there any chance that the Ethernet cable got crushed under a door or stepped on?
I'm like, said,
I'm like,
man, it could have been.
It could have.
George, like, if I was that in, one might have been.
If I was in court, though, I didn't deny it. Oh, I was like, that's a possibility.
It's a really good question. No, because everything else was no. Yeah. But that one, you're like, yeah, that could have happened, George.
Yeah, so what's the deal? What, today's cables are sensitive enough so if I trip over in the middle of the night, it doesn't
actually
work anymore?
To be honest with you, though, looking at the size of your door and the width at the bottom, I think even if you did hit the thing, it would find a way to slide under. I think you've got a great case in court.
No, I think we got a piece of crap cable from a piece of crap store.
But you get it at that dollar store down the street? They suck.
Yeah, they. You know what?
That's the worst dollar store in Melrose Place history there.
I should sue them.
I would like you to.
No, I really
they've actually sold me some bad stuff, too.
Think of the distress that they've caused us.
Great point.
Rage! Tony Sincotta next.